farmers, both here in the U.S. and overseas. And one of the things that there's a lot of need for education with is with the area of irrigation. And if you look at the audience that we have, it's a growing audience, and we have a growing number of people who are starting off in horticulture ventures who have little or no knowledge base of irrigation or water management. This includes our hobby or backyard part-time farmers. Market gardeners, we're seeing an increase throughout the, I know in our Northeast region, more and more market gardeners who are supplying into the population centers, more and more community-supported agriculture. And a real growth spurt has been in the urban agriculture area, where we're seeing a lot of people, we're seeing high tunnels popping up all over urban areas. Certainly the NRCS program has been a boon to that. But again, this audience is really thirsting for knowledge. They really are have often limited knowledge bases, both on horticulture production, but particularly on these specific areas of production, such as irrigation. They have a wide range of needs. The other thing we have a lot of going on, I mentioned the high tunnels. We have a lot of new ventures going on in the area, and one of the examples is with vineyards. We have more and more vineyards going up all over the our region. Across the country, we have more and more vineyards. This is, and of course, many of our vineyards require irrigation, or at least during establishment phase, benefit from irrigation. So there are many other examples of this, of people that are starting new ventures, everything from hops to you name it. There are a lot of really interesting new ventures going on throughout the region. We have small farmers, of course, and small farmers are often ones that we don't reach out to or reach as effectively with our extension program with things like irrigation. We certainly have conferences and meetings set up where we do target small farmers. But as far as specific, really hands-on or really working closely with them for something like irrigation, that is an area that oftentimes we are missing. And then another area throughout the Northeast, I know, we have a lot of converting farmers, so people that are going out of the dairy business and converting to horticultural crops. Well, this is an audience, again, that really could benefit from extension education and irrigation. So we have lots of opportunities, I guess. And I'd like to, as far as a discussion here, if you just stop me anytime, if you want to relay some of your experiences. As I said, I've worked with small and beginning farmers over the years, both here and as a Peace Corps volunteer overseas, and I also worked in as a teacher overseas in teaching at a polytechnic school. But a lot of what we were trying to teach is some appropriate technologies for irrigation. Certainly, there are a lot of basics then for new and beginning farmers. The basics, you almost have to start from the just assuming that there is no knowledge base. And then there'll be some people that certainly have some knowledge base, but a large portion. One of the things I found as a county agent when I was working as a county agent over the years is that oftentimes we miss as extension people the idea is that folks honestly don't have a beginning, a place to begin. And so we're trying to teach them things at a level that is above where they need, which is just the very basics, is what do you do with this? You know, what is this? What does it do? So, you know, you have the whole plant piece and soil piece that we need to teach, the why, how, and needs of our irrigating crops. We have the whole area of equipment and supplies. At least we have, in some areas, we have good core of suppliers. So in our Delmarva area, we have a couple of really good suppliers. Southeast Pennsylvania, which is another area that we deal with, they have a number of good suppliers. Some areas, though, don't. So there, people are buying their irrigation from far away. And when you don't have a support base from your industry, that becomes even more of a challenge for us as extension people. It goes the same with design and installation. Where you have the support of the industry, that's great. Where you don't, becomes a challenge to us. And then same thing with operation and maintenance. there's great needs for really looking at the economics of irrigation for small farms. And when you have a really diverse farm, where are you going to put your dollars as far as your irrigation? How do you set up irrigation for a really diverse operation? And many of these operations are very diverse, with crops with different water needs, different water demands. And then more advanced, we get into what we try to teach a lot of our standard ag audience, which is, or horticultural audience, which is scheduling and monitoring. Same needs apply to our small farmers and beginning farmers. So that's your crop water use and timings, monitoring techniques, fertigation and chemigation. We'll talk more about those. So I kind of divide it up into these three areas that we can spend our time with in our, or really focus on in our extension work. The biology and soil science and horticulture science piece, the engineering piece, and then the economics. And these are just some slides from Gilbert and some of his talks that he's given, that where he tries to explain to his audiences the whole idea between how soils hold water, the interaction of roots with soils. And I'm not going to go into these. I'm just threw these in to show you the kind of things that when you're teaching the basics that you have to start with. Roots and root function, root architecture, where are most of the roots in the soil. When we're talking about nurseries and greenhouses, it's understanding dynamics of containers, which is very different from soils. And what do you effectively manage? We're managing 6 inches, 12 inches, and then how do you effectively manage that area? Those are all the things that we would do in our normal irrigation extension work, but with our certainly is as important for small and beginning audiences. All right. So, one of the first things that we deal with, and one of the first questions our beginning irrigators will have, is on system choices. So, are we looking at overhead? What are the advantages and disadvantages of overhead systems? Many of our beginning farmers, I find, this is what they start with, is overhead systems. They'll put in fixed sprinklers. Just visit we have a new Oriental grower in our county that I'm in currently. And everything was on fixed sprinklers, which they probably would have benefited from some drip irrigation or limiting their sprinkler irrigation to those crops would best suited for that. Solid sets, anybody who's moved pipe know that this is something when you're small is fine. Once you get a little big, you don't want to be doing it. But it does have a place on our small farms. And old systems like wheel rolls, they have a place on our small farms. Small guns are probably one of the things that fit a lot of operations. Managing them to actually get the proper amount of water where you want it without beating up your plants is another thing. And then in nurseries and greenhouses and specialty applications, micro-sprinklers are a choice. And all of these are things that we need to talk to our small farms and beginning irrigators about. Again, I think most of what we're going to be working with, particularly in horticulture areas, is with trickle irrigation, particularly with vegetables and fruits. This would certainly be where we spend most of our time really working. And there's lots of things to talk about there. With vegetable crops, so we're looking at single season drip versus the multiple season drips for more permanent settings. And then whether or not you're growing with plastic or without plastic, a lot of our small growers start off without using plastic, and then we switch to plastic culture. There's a lot of differences when you switch to plastic culture, and a lot of new things to learn and to manage. One of the things, as I said, if you're lucky enough to have irrigation suppliers, how many in this room feel that you have adequate irrigation supply support in your region, your area? How many feel you don't? Or you're not sure? All right. If you can partner with industry, they're the ones who you generally know what they have. They're supplying what they feel will work in the area often. So again, partnering with your industry is really important, or a good way to start this. Basic needs, you need to think about water sources and then how they fit into what equipment you're going to need. Basically, what kind of pumps are you going to need to have, and then all the things that go into moving the water and distributing the water in the system. And this can be really daunting to a new farmer, is what do I buy? All right. And what questions do I ask of a supplier? Am I asking the right questions? Yeah. John?
Well, actually, before this, I mean, what we have a deficiency of is actually people who can actually design it.
Yeah. The design, you know, if you have a luxury, I know we have a luxury of having an irrigation company that does a lot of our drip work that has good design people. How many people have a good design person on staff in their supply company? That's a problem. Yeah. What do you say, James?
There's a lot of online resources to do your own design. It's just a matter of whether folks are comfortable doing it themselves.
Right. A lot of education needs to go in before they can do that.
That's right.
And particularly for somebody who's new to growing to begin with. I mean, they're overwhelmed with just, you know, growing. And this is just one more thing that... Now, we get those retired engineers that want to grow things. They're all up for this. So. And then once you move past the basic needs, certainly if you're getting a drip irrigation, you know, filtering might not be a basic need, but that can be a major issue for a lot of our systems, and then getting into injectors. Along here, you have so many things that you could do from an extension educational standpoint that, again, I'd like to hear ideas from the audience as to how they approach some of this. Here we go into systems and system design. You know, these are the kind of things, as James says, the information is out there. You can find a lot. I mean, we have no dearth of information on irrigation available online, extension publications. We've done all that work. The engineers until we stopped having ag engineers, we had a lot of information that was generated. And then the companies generate this information when they sell their products. This question is, would you feel that your clients or would be comfortable in designing their own system? Do you feel you'd be comfortable as an extension person helping somebody design their system? Yeah, okay, we got an engineer in the back. He's comfortable. All right. So engineering assistance is really important. So that's where this industry partnership, if you can get it. Now, the other thing is your industry interested in serving small clients? That's another issue. If you're in an area where a lot of small clients, like Southeast PA, sure, those companies want to serve small clients. But if you're in other areas where they make most of their money serving large clients, it could be an issue. And then extension engineers, and this is where I get on my high horse, is we just don't have as many extension engineers anymore. And how many states have an irrigation specialist in the room here? All right. How many states don't? All right. Okay, and then what do you do in the design? And that's where we in extension may need to build our knowledge base, is on system design for small farms. And the same with operation and maintenance. Where we've done a lot of work in the past is, you know, maintenance of drip systems with just drip system treatments and water treatment, that type of thing. Filter maintenance. We've done work with injectors. And all this, again, is things that are going to be needed with our small farms. One of the common things that I've seen over the years working with our smaller farms is that they often start off irrigating their property, their production area, their market garden out of their home well. All right, and so this is kind of a limiting factor often to what they can do. It certainly is a good way to start growing a half acre or an acre of vegetables. I work with growers who are making a full living growing acres of vegetables behind their house, so it is possible to do. And there's certainly things that we can help growers with in using their existing water sources. So the way that I, you know, where I see there's a lot of opportunities for assistance on our end is certainly with our market gardeners who are doing vegetables. In our area of the country, on our coastal plain soils, you can't grow vegetables with exception of maybe things like sweet potatoes without irrigation. How about the rest of you? How many of you feel that you can grow vegetables satisfactorily without irrigation? Yeah. So it's generally something where if a person starts that first step, that's going to be one of the first things they're going to need to learn about. And oftentimes that is the step that a lot of our people fall down on, is they've been growing a home garden and maybe they're watering by hand or throwing out a sprinkler stand. They really don't have a good knowledge base of what it really takes to grow a larger quantity of vegetables and what kind of water resources it's going to take and how to really deliver this. This picture is from a small organic farm in Delaware, and you can see they're dripping, doing a lot of bare ground work, but they also have quite a bit of plastic culture and have incorporated that into their operation. There certainly is opportunities in small fruits, orchards, and perennial crops. Again, this is one where some areas of the country we don't do a lot of irrigation. Some areas we need to. The crop you see there is one where you absolutely have to have some water resources, and that's with blueberries. And it's really an essential to grow that crop properly. And again, this is another thing to make our grower, or your new beginning growers to make them aware of. So whenever we talk about getting started in blueberries, that's one of the five things we tell them. If you're going to get into it, you have to have irrigation, otherwise don't get into it. And John's going to talk about greenhouse and nursery, and there's just lots and lots of opportunities for us to work with small growers and systems for greenhouse and nursery irrigation, from everything from system design all the way to water quality management. So talk about some of the things that as you're working with growers, how do you best manage overhead irrigation on small farms? We're looking at things like how do you get uniformity over is probably one of the most important things from an overhead system. How do you manage it so you minimize the potential for added disease pressure? That's another very important part here. And so a lot we can do there in those areas. Probably the biggest success that we've had in working with small farms and larger farmers over the years has been introducing plastic culture to farms. And people like Bill Amott, there's so many people in this association that have worked a lot in that area. So I think that's something that we've done a very good job of. But not always so much as good a job of how do you manage irrigation under that plastic. All right. So oftentimes, folks will get them set up. Here's how you lay the plastic. Here's how you plant in the plastic. Here's how you hook up the drip system. But then we kind of leave them to their own devices as to when do you water? When it's under plastic, it's a little harder to see what's going on. In fact, many of us have been working on irrigation, and I know Bob's going to talk about it and James a little bit, is once it's under plastic, you don't know what's going on oftentimes. And it's oftentimes there are things going on that really shouldn't be going on. We have as much problem with small growers over-irrigating as we do with small growers under-irrigating. And oftentimes we'll have them doing both on the same crop in the same season. So they'll over-irrigate in the beginning, they'll under-irrigate later in the year. Another area that really our small growers need assistance with is really economics. So what is it going to cost them to put in a system? The fixed cost and then the operational cost. Most folks don't have a really good idea of that. You're operating off of a home well. Do you really know what's actually going on economically? No. Your electric bill comes in with your electric, so, hey, it was a little higher this year, this month. When I set up my small home farm. I made sure my irrigation was and power supply was entirely separate for the farm, so I knew what was going on. And then returns. So, how much of a response are you going to get to irrigation with different crops? Do we really know that? And how can we convey it to our small growers? And then that has two components in horticultural crops. It's that returns with the additional production that you're going to get, but returns with additional quality. The best way to do that on a small farm is to just start irrigating and just show the difference that they get when you're doing a proper irrigation versus a not so proper. Now, we have lots of tools out there. We have a cost calculator that we have up at the University of Delaware there that's a drip irrigation calculator. So there's a lot of resources that you can use in working with your small farms. Where we spend a lot of time with all irrigators is this irrigation scheduling and monitoring. There's no different. This is the same thing we need to do with our small growers. Really understanding when the crops have the most demand and how are you going to supply that demand. So how do you get the water to crop when it needs it? And all the different things that we have taught over the years there. And to tell you the truth, probably the best instrument still for a small farm, a beginning farmer, once you get them used to irrigating, is a tensiometer. It's probably the simplest tool that they can use to monitor what's going on, particularly in plastic culture. So a little bit of larger growers, they don't like tensiometers, but for a small farm, it's just a wonderful tool. And reliable and old technology. Water quality, and so John, you're going to talk some about water quality. And certainly those of you who are going to be here tomorrow, there's a great series of talks on irrigation and vegetable crops, irrigation advances in vegetable crops. But we need, in many areas of the country, to look at salinity. In many areas of the country, most areas, particularly when you get in greenhouse nursery work, we have to look at alkalinity. This can be a big issue in growing plants. And then those things that plug up drip systems, this is something that we need to work with our small growers on. Fertigation, the next step with any smaller beginning farmer then is to try to put fertilizer into the system. It puts another layer of complexity onto it, so you need to do a good job with educating the basics before you take them to fertigation. Most people should go to this level. And it can go anywhere from a hose on all the way up to, full injector units. But each one, we need to be able to teach people how to know how much fertilizer is going on, how to put it into the system so you're not wasting it. These are key things to teach. More and more in many parts of the country, it's managing water and water conservation. We're blessed in our area on the Delmarva Peninsula of having just very high amounts of high availability of water fairly near the surface for pumping. A lot of the area country do not have that. And so we have a lot of folks are trying to switch to trickle systems from overhead systems. And if you have a chance to, with a beginning farmer, to get them to start using trickle rather than using overhead, this would be a great place to start. Then you have the whole beginning farmers really have no idea oftentimes what to do with water permits and all that. And even our well drillers help them out. There's a lot of issues there in many areas of the country where you really need to know your standing as far as your permitting. Borrowed a slide, and I won't talk more about this from you, but nutrient management, it can be a driver in small farms as well as our larger operations, and we'll talk more, Bob will show more about that. There's opportunities as we get into urban areas, as we get into working in developing countries for appropriate technology, so rainfall collection, and teaching people how to do that properly and do it safely. When you work overseas, as I have, there's lots of opportunities to start people using trickle irrigation in production of horticultural crops. So Worked with a lot with gravity systems, which work like a charm for delivering water. And we can really improve production and improve the economic a lot in developing countries with this type of technology. Solar pumping, also did projects with small-scale solar pumps that had a good success here. Usually it's not economical for a small grower in a developing country to develop this on their own, but a group of growers, this may be potential, or a co-op to do. So to end up, we have a lot of available resources, as I said, for extension, irrigation. We've developed a lot over the years, so I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel there. We just needed to get it out to our small and beginning farmers. I want to, again, for those of you who are going to be here tomorrow, just wanted to throw this up, as they have a great irrigation systems and current technologies workshop on vegetable crops. Just end up with some of the more effective extension techniques for irrigation. Really, you can do so much in conferences and short courses, but really hands-on demonstrations, tour, on-farm projects, these are the way I think that you can best reach people with irrigation, and we'll see some of that in our next speakers. Another picture from borrowed from you, Bob. And so lots of opportunities with hands-on workshops, lots of opportunities with on-farm irrigation monitoring. Just to remember that you can partner with industry. We have a great well driller just down the road from where I have that do a lot of work overseas, where he's drilling wells in several African countries. But partnering with your industry, your suppliers, your installation companies, and well drillers is, I think, essential for success. So in summary, I think we here have a major audience in with our small and beginning farmers. Their needs are many. We have a lot of programming opportunities, and I think we can have a great economic impact. We can really improve the both production quality and economic lots of our small growers. With that, any questions, comments? How about those of you in the room, and success stories or things where you like to spend your efforts in small and beginning farmers?